34 years ago today, the world held its breath as two men carefully guided a gangly vehicle to a place where no person had gone before.
Houston, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
Landing men on the moon seemed to be an impossible dream in 1961 when President John F. Kennedy set the task as an ambition for America.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the Earth.
When astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin had fulfilled the ambition, people all over the globe rejoiced, but none more so than the engineers, scientists, and technicians of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. For them, the Apollo 11 mission was a crowning achievement, the highest of high points for a government agency then just over a decade old. Today, at age 44, NASA is at one of its lowest points. In the aftermath of the Columbia tragedy, the methods and the very role of manned space exploration are being seriously challenged. Roger Launius is the former chief historian for NASA. He is now chair of the Space History Department at the National Air and Space Museum here in Washington, and he's in the studio. Thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure to be here.
Now, NASA has had three major tragedies in its 44 years. The first was the Apollo 1 fire in 1967. It killed three astronauts on the launch pad. Next, the Challenger explosion in 1986, and then this year's Columbia disaster. After Apollo 1, the entire culture of NASA changed with far more double and triple checking of every step, far more oversight of independent contractors, far more awareness of the dangers involved in space flight. Was there the same kind of sea change in procedures after the Challenger accident?
Absolutely. After Challenger, there was an investigation that uncovered the technical problems, but the larger questions of how did the management allow those technical problems to go unchecked? And a cultural transformation took place as they reorganized the program, put different people into the chairs, people who were astronauts, that was one of the major recommendations, and changed the program as a result of that. There is a lot of similarities in the context of Challenger and Columbia from the management side of the house, not necessarily the technical problem that caused the accident, but the reasons why those technical problems were not resolved beforehand is very much wrapped up in very similar issues with Challenger and Columbia, and a lot of them revolve around the inability to communicate knowledge from one place to another and actually have it incorporated into the decision-making process.
Since the Columbia accident, though, in February, there have been a lot of calls to kind of reassess the need for manned spaceflight, why people need to go up in space. Couldn't unmanned space exploration produce more science? Maybe it will be less romantic. But, I mean, what's really gained by putting people up there?
Well, there are five reasons and five reasons only to fly in space. One is science, and that's one that NASA's talked about a lot. You don't have to have people on board the spacecraft to do good science. And in some respects, they may even be a detriment. If you're doing microgravity experiments, for instance, on the International Space Station and somebody comes in and bangs something, you have messed up the microgravity environment. So that could be an issue. The second reason is this whole business of economics, does it pay? You know, is there a market capitalism reason for doing this? Thus far, there are some activities along those lines like communication satellites, but beyond that, nothing has really emerged, and you don't need people for those. The third reason is military. Is there some national security reason to be there? And clearly we are there for that purpose. And while there are no military astronauts in space at present, there is a mission for them, and they are pursuing that in the DOD. The fourth reason is one that is critical to the creation of human spaceflight, and that was prestige. We do it because it raises our stature as a people, as a civilization, as a nation. And that's why we started flying them in 1961. That's also why all other things that might be countervailing to that, we will not stop flying them now. And nations that want to establish their credibility in the world, like China, are seeking to do this in part by flying astronauts, and they're planning to do that before the end of this year. The last reason is ultimately we're not going to be able to survive on this planet. We have to become a biplanetary, triplanetary, multiplanetary species if we have any hope of survival. Somewhere out there, there's an asteroid with our name written on it. We may do something to our environment to make it impossible to survive here. If we want to survive as a species, we have to move beyond this planet. That's a fundamental reason to fly in space.
Roger Lanius chairs the Space History Department at the National Air and Space Museum and is former chief historian for NASA. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.